right after that, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1. Appreciate you being here this morning. All right, you find that? I got a question for you here when we, at risk of causing a riot. How many are the temperature in here is too cold? Okay. How many here, the temperature in here is too hot? Okay. How many in here say, well, it's just about where it needs to be? Okay. All right. Just asking. I'm sitting up here sweating, you know. I know other people, you know, they're putting on their coats and some are fanning. I'm just trying to figure out what to do there. Okay. Well, and we hit it about right, to be honest with you. We have it set on 70. That's what it was set on this morning when I came. Just curious, you know. I know some folks, I can't believe it's this hot. I can't believe it's this cold. Oh, by the way, there are vents back there, so if it gets cold back there, move up. That's the truth. I'm just telling you. If it gets now it gets pretty hot up here by the pulpit, just so you know. But the vents are across the back there, around the edges there. So if it gets too cold on the edges there, move in toward the middle here, and that probably takes some of the draft off. I just wanted to know. All right, well, very good. All right, not too far off. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1. It says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You see, it seems like it's coming to the end of this letter here, and so he's kind of making a summary. He's saying, okay, we need to talk about this and throwing this in, but watch these things here. He's basically saying we can afford to love, and even strangers if necessary. Verse 3, he's saying that, we need to care for those who are in adversity or in adversity, and you know, we need to care for them. Number 4, it says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And so in other words, we still need to be pure. Okay, he's saying several things here. Verse 5, he says, let your conversation, your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, you know, so he says, all right, in general in life, you know, sometimes we don't have everything we want. And by the way, God doesn't let us have everything at one time. Otherwise, we have nothing to look forward to. I mean, that's the truth. I feel, you see a little show on, what is it, what night is it on? A little big shots thing, and those kids come on, they can do all these kind of things. I'll be honest with you, I feel a little bad for those kids. They're hitting their peak at 5. You ever notice all these childhood stars, a lot of them just kind of, they were a big thing on TV, and all of a sudden, boom, they don't know what to do with the money and their life, and they feel like they're a has-been at the age of 12. And, you know, God allows us to gain things and enjoy things, and we need to be content, and God knows what to give us as we need it. And I remember getting to our house and our first house, and people, you know, it's like, I wanted to live like my parents were living. You know what I'm saying? When we got married, I wanted to live like I was used to living with my parents. Well, that's not always good. By the way, the prosperity of a fool shall destroy him. That's what the Bible says. So we need to be patient. But the fact is, you say, well, I'm losing out. No. God is still there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So God knows what's going on. Verse 6, so that we may, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In other words, I'll go through life and I can go back and say, look what God has done over the years. And there was times we didn't know where the next meal was coming from, but the fact is, we're doing okay. We got the next meal. And now, and you know what? He's going to do it again. Why? Because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And there again, it's like he's changing subject. He's changing gears one verse after the verse. And this, he's saying, you know what? Sometimes there's people who rule over you, you don't really agree with. And sometimes they're doing some things you don't see eye to eye with. But he says, you know what? They're going to give an account to the Lord. And all these things are still and true. And here's our text verse number 8. Right in the middle of all this, he says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So he's writing this, and he's gone through a lot of things. By the way, the book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews to tell them to stop being Hebrews. If you know what I'm talking about, that's a good way to think about that verse, that book. So he's saying, here's this, and here's this, and here's this, and here's this, and here's this. Oh, my soul, how can I live like this? So listen, Jesus said he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now look at verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. It's getting into the issue about eating meats that were offered to idols and so forth. But basically, that was an issue during that time. But he's saying, don't be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. In other words, you don't need new truth. There really isn't new truth. It may be new to you. You may have just been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. But the fact is, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what was true is still true. Now today, I just want to spend some time here. And I know this, you know, we know this, but I want to spend a little bit of time on this thought. And I just felt like I was supposed to do that. I'm entitling this Yesterday, Today, Forever. A little subtitle, Living in the Light of Eternity. Living in the Light of Eternity. But Yesterday, Today, Forever. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings and thank you for the springs of living water. And Lord, I pray that everyone in this room has had a chance to receive Christ as their Savior. And Lord, if they don't know that for sure, they don't know for sure if they die to go to heaven, Lord, I pray that today be the day of their salvation. But Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. And Lord, may we see you just a little clearer. May we walk in awe just a little more. May we just be more amazed of who you are and the scope of what you are and who you are, not only in our lives, but in all of eternity. And Lord, again, speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. I mean, again, I ask for the Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts. As we put in your hands, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So my text verse is verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I want to establish a few truths this morning and then make some applications. This is not a new concept. However, I want to make some applications. I want to deal with some principles here. And I'm hoping that the reality of these truths will ring clearer in our hearts and that will help us to stand firmer in life and on those truths. We can live like a Christian should live when we live with the fact in our heart that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let me go back and say that again. We can live like a Christian should live when we live with the fact in our heart that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The just are live by faith. So the just are live on the concept of who he is, the reality of who our God is, who Jesus is. And so when we really get a hold of that, that really changes the way we look at the world. And the way we look at the world and the way we look at life and whether we can have faith in what we got to do, and it changes our decisions. When you realize he's the same yesterday and today and forever, all of a sudden you're making decisions like the saints of old. You're seeing things the way they see them. The things of this world starts to pass away because this world will pass away and the lust thereof. And all the things, this heaven, this in Peter, this and this and this, this earth will burn away with a fervent heat. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And I hate to say that. I mean, I got some things that in my house that I kind of hang on to. My mom's got one thing she has kind of, she's not gone yet, and so but she has it, and she's kind of already assigned it to me. She's got what's called a melodeon. It's an antique, probably right around Abraham Lincoln's time. It's a little parlor organ. And it's got one pedal to pump it, and it's got another pedal that's kind of a loud pedal. And it closes up, just kind of looks like a nice little rosewood table. But it opens up, and inside there's this little organ. And I was with my dad when he bought it. He went by, he was at a flea market, and it was unrestored, and he saw it. And he bought it to have restored to give to my mother for Christmas. And I never saw him get too romantic or anything, but I thought that was really cool. He was thinking about my mom. He said, you know, your mom would like that. And so he bought it, and we stopped off at a place and dropped it off before we ever got home so this guy could restore it. And we've had it for years and years and years since I was just a kid. And so it has a special spot in my heart. It just reminds me of Dad and his love for my mom, and it reminds me of my mom because it's hers. And, of course, it's musical, and I like that. So, and it's not real big, and I like it. But you know what? There's going to come a day, and it may not be all that long. Well, it's at least 1,000 years. But 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years of the Lord. But one of these days, that's going to all burn up. Gone. And we hang on to things that are temporal, rather than realize that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me give you number one, and these are not mind-shattering, brand-new thoughts. Well, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is not new. So number one, the Lord is eternal. The Lord is eternal. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now we can go right past those two words, Jesus Christ. By the way, Christ isn't Jesus' last name. His name is Jesus. His title is Christ. Basically, it says this, Jesus Christ, the Savior and Sovereign. Christ means Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The Savior, the one who died for you, is also the one who has everything under control. He owns it all. It's like going to the Psalm 23, the Lord is thy shepherd. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the creator of all the universe, the one who created everything, has everything in, and in him all things consist. The one who runs the universe is our shepherd. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And so here he says, he is our Savior and our Sovereign. Now he's also our shepherd. So and the thing is, he says, it's the same yesterday and today and forever. The word same is actually the word autos. We would say autos, like cars out here. In other words, it means it does what it does automatically. When it says it's the same, in other words, he is what he is. Now watch. When it uses the word same, it's not using it as an adjective to describe what he is. It's actually it's a pronoun. In other words, Jesus Christ, who is who he is, and was yesterday, and is today, and will be forever. God is who he is. He is who he's always been, and he is who he will always be. Circumstances will not change our Lord. He doesn't get tired. He will still love us with an everlasting love. There may be times he has to deal with. He always deals with truth. But he himself has not changed. We may change. But he doesn't change. He does what he has always done and always will. It's much like his name that he gave to Moses. Who shall I say has sent me? And he says, I am that I am. Who? I am. He is, will be. That phrase, I am, means to exist. So it really means to have always existed. To exist currently, to exist forever, to have come to pass, and to be, and to become. That's who the I am is. Now, not only is God eternal, but all that he is thus is eternal. You understand? If God is eternal, then all that he is eternal. God was perfect to begin with. God has no place for change. God could not change without being less than he is. God cannot get better or get worse. And neither has he or will he change arbitrarily. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He always has and will be. He is eternal, and everything that he is eternal. Number two, going along with that last thought. Number one, the Lord is eternal. Number two, the Lord never changes. He says the same. Malachi 3:6. Some of the last words that the Lord gives to creation before there's a 400-year silence before the coming of Jesus Christ. It's the end of the Old Testament. I've been going through Malachi, and because this seems very apropos right now at the moment, but we may do that. But in Malachi 3, verse 6, he says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And then he says, "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." So you know why you old guys aren't already dead and the whole place flattened around here? Because I'm who I am is who I am, and I don't change. And so I gave my promise to keep you and to watch over you and to take care of you, and I'm still doing it. You know why you guys are still? Listen, God is not slack, as some men count slackness, but is always long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Why? Because he's the Lord, and he changes not. We ought to be grateful for that. The fact is that we're still alive. We ought to be grateful. Every morning, listen, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord gave us another day. You ought to be happy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every day. Well, I'm not having everything I want. Listen, I'll guarantee you mercy is still following you all day, every day. You start thinking you deserve it, you better watch out. Better watch out. The Lord never changes. Numbers 23:19 says this: God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never changes, then when God told you something, it wasn't a lie. And he told you he's not going back on it. He's not going to go back. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now the fact is, Numbers is telling us, if there's a problem and God said this is the way it is, this is still truth, it's still the same. He said, maybe you ought to repent. But also remember this, I'm the same because I'm still the same. Every good and every precious gift still comes from the Father of lights, comes from above, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Listen, there's no, I mean, he has not moved one iota from where he was. To move would make him different than what he is. It would make him less than what he is. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. When God says this is what we ought to do, then this is what we ought to do. It hasn't changed. It's not that it's gone out of date. We're in the 21st century. Well, that's good. God's been here for eternity. And he's in the 22nd century if we're still counting time by that point. He's already here. He's been here. Nothing has changed. He knew what he said when he said it. Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. If it was wrong, it's still wrong. If it was right, it's still right. If it was wrong, then we ought to repent because it's still wrong. If it's right, we ought to be grateful for it and thank God for it. And the fact is, if it was wrong, what am I going to do? Well, his mercies endures forever. They're new every morning. His compassion endure. They're always there. So you can come, listen. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to do it because what? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, since he was the same yesterday, today, and forever, just because you're just now getting into this thing doesn't mean it doesn't apply to you. He said, anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. 1 Samuel 15, 29. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. If he changes not, you're not going to change his mind. You're not going to change his mind. You may change what you're doing, and then thus, in truth and justice, he can change what he does. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Both are true, because he changes not. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. If I'm going to live in my sin, I'm going to take the consequences. If I'm willing to confess my sins, he's willing to forgive me and show me mercy. He changes not. So the Lord is eternal. So he will always going to be here. You're not going to outlive God. It's not like we're going to get, you know, we're going to get a new politician after 4 years, we're going to vote somebody else in as God. If you don't like his policies, you better get used to them, because they're going to be here forever. The Lord is eternal and he never changes. Number three, he's the same yesterday. Got a few verses, just kind of hang on. I just want you to, by the time we get done here this morning, I want you to just realize that he's that unmovable cornerstone we talked about a few weeks ago. He's the same. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You better get it settled. If you don't have it settled now, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And by the way, he did it in 6 days and rested on the seventh. If that part's not true, then why do we think the first verse, in the beginning, God, is true? Listen, I've said this before. There are Christians in our area who have a problem with, in the beginning, God. They don't have any problem with the Lord saved them. Oh, that's fine. That's Daniel. They'll take salvation, but they don't want to give him credit for making creation. In the beginning, God. 1 John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Now that's who is still the same today. The Creator. That's who's still the same tomorrow. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. John 8:56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abram? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. God is the same as he was yesterday. You can't reinvent God. Men want to create God in the image of man. And you know what? They do this to give them freedom to do as they please, but then when they really need a God, they've made up some inferior, ineffective mindset, and they have nobody to go to. They lower him down and lower him down until they're equal, maybe even a little higher than God. Well, then who do you pray to when the world falls apart? When the foundations are destroyed, what are you going to do? You have nothing. In your mind, you have nobody to go to. If he's the same yesterday, let me say this. Because he's the same yesterday, God had a plan from eternity past. Now, we may mess up the plan, and he knew that was going to happen. He knew the adjustments he was going to have to make. But God has a plan. He has a plan for you. He knew you before the foundation of the world. And that hasn't changed. You say, well, I'm just getting on board. That's okay. He knew that. Now, you've missed out on some things you could have had before. I mean, if you were gotten in on board God earlier, God would have known you were going to get in on board earlier. And he would have dealt with it then. But he, you say, oh, I'm just getting in. I just got saved two months ago. I'm just getting involved. That's okay. God knows you, and he's known you from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world was made. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He knew us, Romans 8, 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of God, that he might be made firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. He knew when you were going to get on board. His foreknowledge knew when you were going to get on board. He didn't decide whether you get on board, but he knows in his foreknowledge when you're going to get on board. And he had a plan for you as a Christian. So he is eternal. He never changes. And he is the same yesterday. And you know where I'm going here. Number four, the same today. He's the same today, folks. There's nothing has changed in our God since he made Adam and Eve. So he breathed in them and gave them the breath of life. Nothing has changed in God when he allowed Noah to find grace in his heart, and he saved those eight people on that ark. Nothing has changed in who he is when he called Abraham and says, I'm going to make you a great nation, and all the nations of the world will be blessed because of you. He's the same God that brought the Israelites out of Egypt. The same God that divided the Red Sea. The same God that then divided the Jordan River. The same God that brought a Savior to save our wretched souls. The same God is going to come back and get us. He's the same today. Creation still reveals God's eternality. In other words, in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. What's it saying? If we would just look at what God has created, that's enough to prove us there's a God. We got too many folks who's got their nose stuck in Darwin's book, who, by the way, only said, suppose. He had a couple birds, and a few of them had a bigger beak. Some of us have bigger beaks too. But that doesn't make us, that doesn't mean we're a different person. You go back and read it. He had these birds, and they have a bigger beak than this one. It's not, okay, all right. But who made the birds? Not the mud. Heavens declare his glory. Again, Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, in the heavens, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. I already read this, I know this. By the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We have no excuse. It's the same. There's no place on this earth that you can't go and not see the magnificence of God's creation. You can go to the depths of as far as deep down in the sea, and they're coming up with things just amazing. They go down in the middle of a cave in the middle of the earth, and sure enough, there he is. Just go out in the dark in the middle of the farm sometime, look up. He's the same, that's the same creator. And you know what? He loves you just as much as anyone else has ever been on this earth. Because that's who he is. He's got a plan for you, just for you, just like it has everybody else. He hasn't left you just like everybody else, though we may have walked away from him. But he hasn't left us. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That word consist means set together, held together. God holds all. Listen, there's this, what they call it? They're talking about the God Adam or something. There's something that holds, that there's some things, that the song was saying, there's some things that hold everything together, and they don't know what it is. It's there, everything holds together. We don't know why it's held together, but it does. Out in space, they have this stuff called, you know, dark matter, and then they got dark space. It says it's like 75% of space is this dark energy. That's what it was, dark energy. They don't know what it is. Can't see it, but there it is. Well, he made all things visible and invisible, and in him all things consist. He's the same. He's been holding it together since the foundation of the world. And he will hold it together until he decides to create a new heaven and a new earth. Seasons will come and go, just like he said. Don't worry about it. No, there's some shifting around, but seasons are going to come. It is. It will held together. Watch this. We have, right now, if you're saved, you have an eternal home right now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have an eternity. But watch, we have an eternal help. We have eternal home right now. Right now we have eternal help right now. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That word ever, very present, means exists as close can be. He exists as close to us as close can get, and we are there, and he will be there as fast can be. That's ever present. It's there. Boom, there. Well, I don't see him coming that way. Well, first of all, you're standing where he's supposed to be standing. You walk in the dark, you walk in the light. And sometimes he says, okay, we're going to have a little time. We're going to try you a little bit. I mean, when Abraham and Sarah said, we need go ahead and it's time to have the baby here, Lord. He said, nope, not yet. I got a plan. But I tell you what, when the plan came to fruition, everybody knew it. He's an ever-present help. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace into help in time of need. Listen, the whole world may be falling apart around me, but the Lord is my help. And he's the same as he was yesterday. And by the way, he's not going to get tired and retire next week. He's going to be the same then. He's eternal. He changes not. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And you know where we're going. It's the same forever. He's the same forever. If the Lord never changes, then we have eternal hope. I know we know these things, but sometimes you just need to sit there and dwell on it once in a while. Sometimes you get finished. You work on the lawn, and everything's fine. But every once in a while, it's nice to take a lawn chair and just sit out there and enjoy it. It's pretty good. I like this. You know. Finish washing the car, you get everything cleaned down, you get the tires all shiny, and that looks fine, but you kind of want to take a chair and sit down and look at it for a little bit. I mean, it worked hard to get to that point. Want to enjoy it, want to appreciate it. And by the way, that's kind of what we need to do sometimes. We need to just kind of sit back and say, wow, this is God. This is God. He's a pretty good guy. And he will be. John 3:15 says this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Listen, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're as saved today as you are going to be when you're in heaven. It's already a done deal. We just haven't moved in yet. But it's ours. Now, wait a minute. If you're still hanging on to your works, Brother Nathan was talking about that this morning, that's not going to do it. You know that there's a judgment in chapter 20 of Revelation, and that's when the dead are raised, the dead, not the dead in Christ, but the dead are raised, and they're all brought to the great white throne judgment, and they're judged out of the books, and every one of them that was judged out of the books are cast into the lake of fire. You know why? Because you can't live up to the law that's in the book. The law is our schoolmaster tells us that we cannot live up to it. So listen, that we say, well, that's awful mean. Well, I don't know whether you like it or not, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so the rules aren't going to change. That's the way it works. Now, the other hand is, he is also loves, and his mercy endures forever, and he says, here's what I'm going to do. Since you cannot fix your way to heaven, you're not going to be able to do it, just never going to be able to do it. It's kind of like, you know, trying to do something and please mama. No matter what, she's still going to tuck the corner of the bed clothes a little bit different here. You know what I'm talking about? Well, listen, God is perfect. We're never going to measure up to the glory of God. And he knew that. So he says, I'll tell you what, I'll take care of it. I'll send my son to die on the cross and pay for your sins. If you've never accepted the fact that he died and paid for your sins and decided I'm going to trust his death and cross as full payment for my sins and not what I can do, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. If you haven't got that settled, we'll give you a chance at the end of the service here. I want you to do that. Because the rules aren't going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, he's the same forever. If he says you've got a home in heaven, you've got a home in heaven. 1 John 2:25 says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So he's the same. We have a home in heaven. But along with that, the Lord is and always will be in charge. Jesus Christ, Savior, Sovereign. Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Sovereign, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're with him, it's a good thing. If you're against him, you're in trouble. First Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. You may not be able to see him, but he's the only wise God. Might as well get used to it. Daniel 7:13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came, the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. We're going to see him face to face. And we will answer to him. Some will awake to eternal life and some to eternal damnation. I'm just sorry. And the fact is, it's our choice. Psalm 56:1 says this, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Now see, he's the sovereign. We're going to have to stand before him. But wait a minute, if he's our Lord, it's a wonderful thing that he's in charge. In what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. And he changes not. God is not against you. He's for you. And everything in the world may fall apart. But you remember this. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's for you. Now, he may not like everything you do. And he may give us some times where he builds us, he teaches us, he trains us, just like we train our children. But all things still work together for good to those who love God are called according to his purpose. You walk it with him, I'll tell you what, God is for you. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. He'll do for you. With heart wide open. I forget that. What's the word? Larry's right there. What? Oh. He'll pardon you. There you go. It is no secret what God can do. I've sung that song so many times, I figured I'd get through it. Listen. He says here, they're all over me. But when I cry, he says, you are for me. In God will I praise his word, and the Lord will I praise his word. The God hath put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God, and I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living, and he changes not. Psalm 118:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what can man do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Deuteronomy 33, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Revelation 11:15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, a couple thoughts here before we're done. Because the Lord never changes, and because he is merciful, then his mercy endures forever. Well, I blew it this time. Went too far. In fact, I've done this so many times, I'm ashamed to even talk to the Lord. Well, you should be ashamed to talk to the Lord, but that doesn't mean don't talk. It's good that we're ashamed of our sin. And if you sinned again and you sinned again, you've already asked forgiveness and you're ashamed even more, well, that's okay. You should be. But don't try to hold on to your sin. Hold on to the Savior. Bring them unto him. Confess, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Give us a clean start. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've already quoted this, but put it in perspective. Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Read Psalm 136 sometime. Everything we have is because of his mercy. Number 7. Because God is love and God changes not, then his love never changes. I'm not talking about like. God commendeth his love towards them while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. Because of his love. I've said this before. You say, well, I'm not sure I love this person anymore. If you don't love them anymore, then you never loved them in the first place. Because love never fails. You may not like them. That's a different story. But just because you don't like them, don't have to be unloving to them. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There's probably folks in this room that remember the days before you got saved. Or maybe you're not saved and you remember these days right now. But something would happen and the Lord would come to mind. And in the back of your mind, you said, well, you know, I probably should go make that right. Now, sometimes they say, well, maybe I should go back to church and find God. Well, you don't have to go to church to find God, but it's a good place to find him. You know, but we kind of connected there. But maybe I need to get things right with the Lord. You know what that is? If God didn't want you around, he wouldn't put that in your mind. I don't want that guy around me. He's a mess. Boy, that woman's got a mouth on her. I don't need her. No. Because of his everlasting love, he draws us. Because the Lord never changes, number 8, he is still the source of every good gift. He will not give us, listen, he will not refuse any, withhold any good thing. Again, I know I've read this, but every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Is from above, everyone. And cometh down from the Father of lights. Why? Because of his mercy. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Right there is a good reason to pray. Spend some time with him. Number 9. If the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you never need to guess where you stand with God. It's all written in the book. Psalm 119, why? God's word is settled. Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. You made the earth, and it's still here. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. So just as sure as the earth is still here until he decides to get rid of it, his word is true. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall not pass away. He never changes, so you can tell exactly where you stand with him. Read a book. It hasn't gone out of date. It hasn't been re-edited, and there's a new volume out. There's not a new edition. Because God changes not and his word changes not, I can count on his word to guide me and direct me and reprove me. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. That has never changed and never will change. If God said it, you can count on it. That means, if it's a gift of God, it's eternal life, then I can have eternal life because whosoever's will may come. That means I have a guide. The word's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I can trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. That means he's still the same. If I will acknowledge him, he will direct my path. Well, maybe he said, well, he hasn't told me to move. Well, maybe you're not supposed to move. You don't have to guess what God is thinking. If God was for it, he's still for it. If God was against it, he's still against it. Society doesn't change God's mind. We may shift with society, but God doesn't shift with society. You know what we do as Christians? We'll say, well, I don't want to be like the world, so I'm here and the world's there. And then the world moves over there, so I'm here and the world's there. And then I move over here and the world's there. And I'm over here. I'm far past where the world was years ago. No, if God was for it, he's still for it. If he's against, he's still against it. God's likes and dislikes do not change. If it was true, then it's still true. If it was an abomination before, it's still an abomination. If it was right in the eyes of the Lord, it's still right in the eyes of the Lord. Deuteronomy 4, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. God doesn't change the rules on truth. God's word will remain true. He doesn't change the rules on us. Maybe we didn't know the rule because we didn't know the book, but he didn't change the rules. God cannot change, listen, I'm sorry, we cannot change the rules on God. I'm going to stop right there. We kind of covered the verse at the beginning. We should take great comfort in the fact that the Lord is the same. Yesterday, today, right here where we live, and forever. The same truth that guides us today is the same truth we must pass on to guide our children tomorrow. Well, I'm not sure how to tell them how to face the world. You know, there's things in the Bible that I thought, this is just weird. Why is he manslayers, murderers of mothers and murderers of fathers and all this stuff, and I think, that's just really weird. What, you know, why did he even put that in? I guess he's just trying to make a point. And now we live there. This book is actually more up to date than it's ever been, you know? I shouldn't say that because it's always up to date. But it's up to date. It's just as up to date today as it was the day it was written. Psalm 103 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, Psalm 103, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. It's a great, precious promise. Blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff where the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And you know what? That's the word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. And it changes not. Father, again, thank you so much for your love. So thankful for your faithfulness. You're the sovereign. You can do anything you want. But as sovereignty, you decide to be our Savior. Lord, thank you that we have a rock that we can base our life upon that never changes, never moves. Anchors are deep. Give you the praise for that. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question. We won't be long. Just be patient here a minute. If you're here this morning, you don't know for sure that if you die, you go to heaven. The Bible says that I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life. When it says the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, he meant it. And it says that his righteousness, his justice has been satisfied by the blood of Jesus, he meant it. And whosoever will may come. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, we would love to take the Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure. Now, the rest of us here this morning, I want us to take heart. God is true. He's righteous. He's loving. He's merciful. And he changes not. The same yesterday, today, forever. I don't know what the Lord has spoken to your heart about here this morning, but this is the time we want to deal with him. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Piano organ's going to play. The altar is open. If you don't know for sure if you died, would you come? If you go to heaven, would you come?